I'm going to read a list of things for you tonight. And as I read these lists of things, I want you to think about what they all have in common. All right? Embezzlement, gambling, unjust taxation, burglary, larceny, hijacking, shoplifting, extortion, fraud, not paying your taxes, filing false insurance claims, falsely billing clients, receiving payment for work you did not complete, wasting time at work, not paying your employees, taking items from your employer. Wonder how many things in stock you have at your home right now. Not returning or repaying what you borrowed. Plagiarism. Teenagers, illegal downloads. Jailbreaking, whatever they call it, illegal downloads. Identity theft. Ripping off your neighbor's internet. Let me get real preachy for a moment. Stealing ink pens from the Welcome Center? Grabbing water bottles out of the refrigerator that are not yours? What do all these have in common? Stealing. It's not an exhaustive list, by no means. But all of these are examples of how we violate the eighth commandment. He says, thou shalt not steal. Well, you say, well, Pastor, is this such a big deal that we spend an entire message on this? Well, let me just say, stealing is still a big issue in our society. If you don't think that's true, don't lock your doors when you go to bed at night. If stealing is not an issue, don't set your alarm at your house. Listen, if it's not a big issue, then why do some of you live in communities that have fences? You have security codes on your phones. You have passwords for your computers. You have four-digit identifications on your credit and debit card. Yes, stealing is still a major issue. We have passwords and security for everything. Now, I realize tonight that for some of you, the most frustrating thing in life, is remembering all the passwords you have for all the security that you need. Let me say that just like it's frustrating for you, it is frustrating for us. It is frustrating for us to try to figure out what all of your passwords are that you need when you can't remember what they are. All right? It's true. We have this society where stealing is so much an issue. And sometimes we think that do not steal, thou shalt not steal. It's kind of like last week when we dealt with honoring your parents, honoring mom and dad. We sometimes think that these things are geared just toward one age group. But listen to me. Stealing is not limited to childhood games. It's not. It's prevalent and serious among all ages and all types of people. And the command is strictly simple. There's nothing difficult about its understanding. There are no exceptions. There are no caveats. It's just one simple command. Do not steal. Don't do it. Thou shalt not steal. And remember, anytime we take anything, whatever that may be, it might be a paperclip. It might be money. But any time we take anything that belongs to someone else or withhold that which rightly belongs to someone else, we are guilty of violating the eighth commandment. We're guilty of stealing. I've put a definition. I don't think I need to define it, but maybe I need to remind some of you what it is. There in your notes, here's a definition of stealing. It's taking something that does not belong to you without permission. Are you guilty of stealing? As I went over that list, was there something that rubbed you the wrong way? Stealing? Paul said in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. Those who have stolen, don't let him steal anymore, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So we think about this command, do not steal. I want to give you three principles strictly from Ephesians 4:28. As a matter of fact, that verse is there in your notes. Let's read Ephesians 4:28 aloud together. You ready? Here we go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Here's the first principle. Number one, the principle of honesty. The principle of honesty. Let him that steal no more. The command of Exodus 20 and verse 15, which is thou shalt not steal, is re-emphasized right here in Paul's writing when he assertively says, stop stealing. Stop. He says, don't steal. Let you who have stolen steal no more. And I think having victory over the eighth commandment starts with living honestly. Living honestly. Are you an honest person? Really? I mean, only you can answer that. God knows. I may not know. Your spouse may not know. Nobody around you may know. But you know whether or not you are truly an honest person. Do you have a problem taking that which does not belong to you? What are some ways that dishonesty has governed your life? We've already mentioned the list of things here at the beginning that have their commonality in what is known as stealing. But let's talk specifically for a moment about a few of them. How that we can be dishonest in areas that God deems as theft. How about this first one? Thievery at work. Thievery at work. I think the principle begins with employers. James chapter 5 and verse 4 says this, behold, the hire of the laborer. Who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. What's he talking about here? He's saying employers are inviting God's judgment on their lives when they do not compensate for the contracted work they've hired out. That's what he's saying. James said, listen, some of you have hired laborers who have reaped their fields. They've done their work, but you have by fraud, by stealing, by theft, you've kept back their wages. You haven't paid them. And maybe there's someone here, whether it is your official position that people work under you, or whether you've just hired somebody out to come do something around your house. Listen, it doesn't matter whether you are a full-time boss or whether you have contracted work in your life to be done. The Bible says you are inviting judgment on your life when you do not pay what belongs to people, when you don't compensate them. That's where it begins. It begins with employers. It's stealing, it's theft. Not to give people what they've worked for. I think it continues with employees. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9 says, exhort servants to be obedient to their masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again or arguing. Not purloining, but showing all good faithfulness or fidelity. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Listen, that ought to be two verses, Titus 2, 9 and 10, that every employee ought to memorize and do their work by. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that your work is your witness. Your work is your witness. How you work is how often people view God. And I think there is a huge issue in America with thievery as it relates to employees stealing from their own employers. What kind of employee are you? Do you work hard? Can you say what Titus says in this verse, that you're not argumentative, that you don't purloin or waste time, that you show all faithfulness, you're a hard worker, and by your hard work, people see the light and the witness of God? Can your fellow employees and employers say that about you? So I say, well, Pastor, I've never stole anything from my work. Anything? Never stole anything? How many ink pens do you need to return? Now, all joking aside, let me ask you this. Have you ever wasted time at work? Do you know, according to salary.com, you can check it if you think I'm giving you fluffed statistics. Salary.com, the average employee who works an 8-hour day, according to their statistics and their surveys, the average employee who works 8-hour day wastes over 2 hours. It's like 2.2 hours they waste of their work day with idle time. Think about that. That's not even counting lunch. So if you work an 8-hour day, you waste 2 hours of it, then you take an hour for lunch. You're getting compensated for 3 hours that you hadn't done anything. Wasting time. Well, how do we waste time? Well, I think we steal time playing on the internet when we should be working. Social media. Some of you do your shopping while you're working. Some of you are addicted to YouTube. Somebody sends you an email, you click on it. 45 minutes later, you've been watching 3 or 4 YouTubes about cats that are adorable. You say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? Let me ask you something. Let's say we all went to Krispy Kreme tonight. That would be a great idea, wouldn't it? Let's say we all went to Krispy Kreme, we went through the drive-thru, and we said, we want 8 donuts. Equivalent to 8-hour workday. We want 8 donuts. They rung it up. Probably it's going to be like $35. I don't know. You know, eight donuts are expensive these days. On 8 donuts, you give them the $35. You get the box. You can't wait to get to those chocolate ice cream filled donuts. And when you open them up, you find out there's only 5 of them in there. Now, wait a minute. I paid $35 for 8 donuts, but you're only giving us 5. Well, that's some of you what you're going to do tomorrow when you go to work. Your employer is paying for your time and your energy, but you're not going to give him that. So the same token, you would be upset. You would be upset with Krispy Kreme. Don't be offended when they get upset with you because you're wasting time. We steal time on the internet. We steal time socializing. I think the analogy is water cooler time, you know. We're going to go in there tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about how sorry the Panthers were. And 2 hours later, we went from Panthers to our fantasy football. Or you're not going to believe what my preacher talked about Sunday morning. Not doing our work. We do personal time. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not sure it's always a good thing to pay bills on work schedule. It's interesting. I read even on salary.com that there's 33% of people look for another job while they're getting paid at their current job. That's unbelievable. Some of you don't think it's unbelievable because you've done it. I'm talking about stealing. Sometimes we don't think about this. We think it's just some childhood game. Oh, he stole my crayon. When we think it's greater than that, arrest them. They broke into my house. They stole my jewelry and my money. Well, they ought to send the cops after me and you sometimes when we waste time at work and we steal from our employers. How about thievery at work? How about thievery against the government? Now, I know we could definitely talk about tonight how the government steals against the people. Right. That's obvious. They do. They're thieves. They inflate their taxes to pad their pockets. I mean, let's just be honest and call it the way it is. But we're not going to talk about how they steal from us tonight. I think the bigger problem is not what they do to us, it's how we respond to them. I want to ask you, are you fulfilling God's command to honor the government? Listen to what Jesus had to say about paying your taxes. Luke 20:25, He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's. Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give the government what belongs to the government. You give God what belongs to God. 1.6 million people cheat on their taxes every year. 1.6 million. That's roughly $385 billion that the government never sees. Don't complain about the national deficit if you're not helping to fix it. Greater than that, as God sees it as a sin against Him to dishonor your government. Thievery at work? Thievery against the government? How about thievery against others? Thievery against others? Bob Jones Sr. said, it's never right to do wrong in order to do right. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. If your justification for thievery against someone else is to provide for yourself, it is simply not justifiable. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. We're not talking about Robin Hood theology. Well, I had to steal from them. I had to give a little less to the government. I had to take from my employer. If I don't, how am I going to feed my family? No, you trust God. You don't steal. It's never right to do wrong in order to do right. Thievery against others. How about the worst form of thievery? Thievery against God. Now, you steal from your employer. Steal from the government if you want. Uncle Sam will eventually find you. Steal from others. Go ahead. Steal from God. You're in a heap of trouble. The Bible says in Malachi 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? It's almost like rhetorical. Would a man even think about doing that? Would a man really rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. I hope you're not guilty of stealing from God by not giving Him His tithe this week. Are you giving God His 10%? Are you giving God what belongs to Him? Or have you stolen from Him? This is not a tithing message, but we do understand the Bible says God will get His money one way or the other. He does. And it could come in a way that will hurt you greater in the long run. It's amazing to me how many people's lives change when they start obeying God's Word. And some of you are going through the same old cycle, the same old rut, the same old mess, and you just won't give God. You're a thief. You're a thief. You're stealing from Him. It would be better for you to go into a bank tonight and steal from them than to steal from God. I'm not recommending that you do that, but I'm just saying that it would work out in the end better for you spiritually. But hey, money's not the only way we steal from God. How about stealing His glory? Are you guilty of being a thief of God's glory? Are you guilty of stealing God's time? Spending your Sundays or your days doing whatever you want to do instead of giving it to God. You see, stealing is a serious issue. And the principle is this. Paul says, stop stealing. Let those of you who have stolen, steal no more. If you've stolen against your work, don't steal anymore. If you've stolen against the government, stop. If you stole against others, stop. If you're stealing against God, stop. Stop stealing. Principle of honesty. Number two, the principle of integrity. The principle of integrity. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that steal no more, there's honest, be honest. Here's integrity. But rather, instead of stealing, labor. Labor. Work with your hands the thing which is good. Rather than being dishonest and being guilty of stealing that which does not belong to us, God says, work for it. Work for it. Listen, I'm not talking about people who are disabled. I'm not talking about if you're retired. If you're retired, thank God you live in a country that is rewarding you in these years of your life for your hard work. I'm not preaching at you if you're retired. I'm not preaching for you if you're in between jobs and you're not being able to find something. I'm not saying. I'm talking about those of us who would rather steal from people, steal from God, steal from the government, rather than having some character and get an honest job and work for what we have. There's only three ways you can get something. Only three. Work for it. Have somebody give it to you. Steal it. Only three ways you can get one of those chocolate ice cream filled donuts tonight. Have the money that you worked for, go in there and rob them and steal that donut. Or let Brother Gary buy us all one. That's the only way we can get it. I think that sounds like a pretty good idea to me. Combating dishonesty lies and living with integrity. And living with integrity means we become hard workers. We work for what God gives us. I've preached on this a lot. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but can I just simply remind you that work is a gift from God. Work is a gift from God. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy all of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God gave him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor." Why? Because his labor is the gift of God. He said, be happy with what God has given you. Be happy if God gives you a raise. Be happy if he gives you a new house. Enjoy the things that God blesses you with. Why? Because it is a gift, a blessing for us to be able to work to enjoy the things that God gives us. I think as parents, we need to make our children get up off the couch and teach them integrity by valuing hard work. I talked a couple of weeks ago about there's this really major generational gap. You know, our parents' generation, many of you in this church, hard workers. But then my generation, they're a bunch of lazy mama's boys is what they are. Sitting in the basement, eating cheese puffs and playing video games. What's happened? Let me tell you what's happened. We haven't taught them to value hard work. Value it. Lamentations 3:27 says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It's an interesting phrase. He says it's good for your kids to work when they're young. It's good for them to get a job. It's good for them to help around the house. It's good. And if we wait until our children grow older to teach them hard work, then when they grow older, they won't work. And we will reap in our lifetime the failure of our parents, the failure of us as parents, who've not taught our kids to get off the couch, get a job, and work hard. Work. Don't miss this, because the principle of stealing is combated with integrity. Don't steal from others. Work for what you have. Be a hard worker. Value what God has given you the ability to do. And living in a country that we live in where the rest of the world would love to have what you make every hour. Take it for granted. But that's America. But it shouldn't be of our churches. It shouldn't be of our children and your teenagers. Listen, it's a sad day in America when we've become more concerned with government handouts and winning the lottery than we are making an honest living. I'm about jobs. I'm about my kids getting a job. My wife and I, we went to Andy's last night, or Highway 55. We're used to it being Andy's, is what they called it in the eastern part of the state. Highway 55. Kate loves it. We got her a hot dog. She wanted a hot dog in the car with the French fries, and she ordered vanilla ice cream. I saw all these teenage girls working in there. I started thinking, I didn't even tell Kathleen I was thinking about this. I started thinking about when Kate gets old enough to work. I was thinking about it. I wonder if Kate was old enough to work right now, where would she work? Where would I want her to get a job? And I'm starting thinking about all the things. Well, I don't think it's ever too early to start teaching your kids hard work. Hard work. You need to value it. That's integrity. We've raised a generation of young people who wants to see how much more the government will give them. Or if I put this little bit of money in a slot machine, maybe I'll be able not to work for the rest of my life. When we're not concerned about making an honest living. Integrity. Integrity. Honesty, let him that stole steal no more. Integrity, rather let him work with his hands. Here's the third principle. The principle of generosity. Look at the last part of verse 28 again. There in your notes. Let him that stole steal no more. There's honesty. Let him labor working with his hands. There's integrity. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Generosity. Generosity. Again, I'm not talking about Robin Hood theology where we take from others to give to the poor. Disney should not teach us how to live. Jesus teaches us how to live. And what He's saying to us is that don't steal. Don't steal. Work hard to earn what you get. And when you get it, don't forget to be generous to others who are in need. That's the principle of life. Don't steal. Work hard to get what you have. And when you give it, don't forget about people who could use a little bit of help. There are two types of people on this earth. Givers and takers. Which are you? Are you one that's always taking, 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 taking? Or are you a person that's always giving, giving, giving? Acts chapter 20, verse 33 says, I have coveted no man's silver, nor gold, nor apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to than to receive. Jesus told us that. So Paul said, you know, we need to work hard. We need to work hard not just to get that retirement package, not just to build that fancy house, not just to drive that nice car. No, we work hard so that we can also give to meet the needs of others. Don't steal, he says. Be generous. John Wesley, great Methodist preacher of years gone by, he said, make all you can, save all you can, give all you can. I like that. Nothing wrong with making all you can make. But save all that you make. And when you make it, give all that you can give. Make it all. Save it all. Give it all. Because God knows that generosity frees us from a life of selfishness. And getting back to the first point, it frees us from a life of dishonesty. Dishonesty. I want everybody to do me a favor for a moment. I want you to take your strong hand, whatever that may be, left or right hand. I want you to hold it up for just a moment. I am right-handed. I'm not wrong-handed. All right? I want you to take your hand and I want you to clench it. I want you to hold it there and I want you to squeeze it as hard as you can squeeze it. I mean, let those fingers rest upon them and just hold it there. Just keep on holding it. Just squeeze it as hard as you can squeeze it. Some people live their lives this way. Squeezing all they can squeeze. And after a while, what starts to happen? That starts getting a little uncomfortable. Hey, don't let go. I didn't tell you to let go. Yeah, keep on squeezing it. Unless you've got an extra tie check in that hand, then you can let it go. No, we live our lives that way. And after a while, it starts hurting. It gets uncomfortable. But let it go. Let it go. Oh, feels a lot better now. Whole lot more relaxing relief when you loosen that up. That's what giving's all about. Go ahead and hold on to it as hard as you can, making sure nobody touches it, nobody sees it. It'd make a world of difference in your spirit and in your life and how you feel if you just open up and give. Generosity. The happiest people I know are those who happily and generously give. What's God speaking to you about? Have you been stealing from God? Are you not giving your tithe? You're not giving your 10% as His Word commands us? Maybe you need to stop holding on and let it go. Somebody God put on your heart that you need to help? You need to meet the need of? Some of you would just smile more when you come to church if you learn to give and be generous. And I want to close with this question. With all of this in mind, is there someone or something that you need to make right because you've stolen? Well, this is where it gets hard. Because according to the Scriptures here, God says that when we steal, that we have to make restitution. with those whom we've stolen from. Here in Exodus chapter 20, would you turn over to chapter 22? I want you to see this in verse 1. Maybe there's someone or some entity you might be guilty of stealing from, and maybe God is wanting to say in these closing moments, hey, it's time to make it right with them. It's interesting what he says here after he gives the commandments. Exodus 22, look at verse 1. If a man shall steal an ox or sheep, kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. Here's the principle. We need to make restitution with those we've stolen from. If we steal, we need to make it right. Let me give you an example. Let's say someone recently broke into your home, stole everything, everything. The TV, the furniture, jewelry, money, it was all gone. Maybe they attended a church like this and they heard a message and God got a hold of them. Now, let's just say for sake of illustration, they came and they knocked on your door. You never met them before in your life. And they say to you, sir, ma'am, I just want to let you know all this stuff you're missing. That was me. I stole it. But I want you to know that I went to a good church today. Man, they preached the gospel about stealing. I went to that altar and I got things right with you. And I just want to say, I'm sorry. Hope y'all find some furniture. Good night. No, after I chase them out the yard with my thing that I carry with me sometimes, while calling the police at the same time, I want that guy to give me back what he's stolen from me. It's called making it right. Restitution. Don't treat God that way. Don't go to God and say, well, I stole from the government, I stole from my employer, but thank you for forgiving me. I'll just be on my way. No. Go apologize. Go make it right. Change your lifestyle. Stop stealing. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us in the New Testament like He does in the Old Testament exactly how much we're to repay. I can't sit here and tell you that for the 5 times of restoring the oxen is a literal interpretation that if we stole a dollar, we need to restore 5 much of it. I'm not saying that's what God's saying, but I think the principle is still true. We need to make it right. We need to go to those who we've stolen from, even if no interest is involved, and at least pay it back. Give them what once was theirs. We do have an illustration of a wee little man. You know what I'm talking about? Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. Bible says he was a Republican. Republican, I'm sorry. I get those confused sometimes. They both steal money, right? He had stolen all the tax dollars' money. Taxpayers' money. And the Bible says that when he got right with God, he went back and he gave them how much? 4-fold. He made it right. I don't know how much you have to make right. I don't know what God is leading you to do. I'm just telling you that if you have violated the 8th commandment, maybe there's something you need to do to make it right so that God will be pleased with your repentance. Here's what he says. Thou shalt not steal. Be honest, live with integrity, and be generous in your giving.